carrying the Christ child. The last few weeks we've been talking about those who have participated in the Christmas story, Elizabeth, the wise men, and the shepherds. Today, as it is Christmas, we're going to talk about Mary and Joseph. Their part in the Christmas celebration is one we can all encounter. We are introduced to Mary when the angel Gabriel visits her. To her amazement, he greets her with, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." That would certainly get our attention, and probably, like Mary, we would be confused and disturbed, uncertain what the angel could mean. But the angel goes on to explain to Mary that she will conceive and give birth to a son, and she is to name him Jesus, for he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, for his kingdom will never end. She's stunned by this pronouncement, given that she's a virgin. So Gabriel explains, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Surely now she knows that she is the girl of Israel's prophecy. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a child, and this son will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. She is the favored one who will carry the Messiah, the one on whom the government rests, and who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end, Isaiah says. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. This prophecy would be fulfilled in her. Can you imagine if the angel of God spoke those words to you? Well, Joseph wasn't quite ready to hear this news from Mary, and when she told him, he doubted her and thought she cheated on him. Yet in his pain, he was compassionate and would quietly break their engagement so as not to disgrace her publicly. But according to Jewish law, he could even have her stoned for adultery. It shudders one to think. But the angel returns with a personal message to Joseph, saying, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." God is nothing if not complete in bringing everyone who needed to hear the news of the miraculous birth of his son. Whether placing the stars in the perfect order, sending angels to speak to Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph, all was in readiness that had been planned from the beginning of the ages. And then the edict arrived. Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. At the time of Jesus' birth, the empire stretched over 2 million square miles from the Rhine River of Germany to Egypt and from Britain to Asia Minor, now Turkey. Thus, it wasn't just Joseph and Mary that were displaced, but millions of other people had to travel to their ancestral home to be counted. We think the roads are crowded now with Christmas travel. Can you imagine what it would have been like with entire families gathering their belongings and traveling by foot, donkey, camel, or cart? As Mary was so close to delivering her baby boy, it's obvious that the couple hadn't planned on going to Bethlehem, or they would have gone much sooner. Perhaps they didn't connect Micah's prophecy to the birthplace of her child. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf, God says. But God the Father knew this and moved upon the emperor to force them from Nazareth to Bethlehem in order that the prophecy would be fulfilled. This journey is about 90 miles, and because she was in her ninth month, it would be a slow and careful journey. To avoid harassment from marauders, Joseph would have chosen a safe route, which would take longer and likely, if they traveled daily with only nighttime stops for rest, would take them about 10 days. Even though this was Joseph's family home, there was no one available for them to stay with, and the hope of an inn vanished when everyone was already full of travelers. Only one innkeeper offered the very weary couple his stable, and it was in the straw surrounded by animals that Mary birthed Jesus. Having no other place to place him, she laid him in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. Only a young mother who has endured such dreadful surroundings can imagine the horror of birthing her firstborn child next to smelly, dirty animals. But this was the first home of our Savior Jesus, and yet he thrived in the midst of such unhygienic conditions. The birthing just complete, when who should tumble into their cave but a group of strangers, men who were just as dirty and smelly as the animals around them. But what news they had! An angel had come to them with news that the Savior, Messiah, Lord, had been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and they would know him as he was wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And then they exclaimed, breathless with excitement, that a whole choir of angels lit up the night sky and sang to them this glorious song. Can you imagine if you were Joseph and Mary? You just had a wearying 90-mile journey, and you couldn't find a comfortable place to rest, and were forced to take refuge in a stable. Your young wife labored for hours to deliver a tiny son and only had a feeding trough to lay him in. And then instead of finally getting your rest, strange men came with the incredible tale of angels, affirming once again that their newborn son was the Savior of the world. How would you feel? Dazed, speechless, overwhelmed? God's eternal history is fulfilled this night in front of you, and you, a simple carpenter and a young teenager, are an integral part of God's amazing plan. Would you feel prepared, ready, empowered to parent the Christ child, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings? As the beautiful song Mary, Did You Know states, did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Did Mary and Joseph know all this at the time? After the shepherds told their astonishing story, Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. It was a lot to take in. She carried the Savior of the world in her womb and in her arms. How incredibly awesome is that? But wait! We've also been called to carry the Savior of the world. We've been called to invite him into our hearts and let his light remove our darkness and doubt. Jesus assures Nicodemus that we can only enter the kingdom of God by being born of water and spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, he says, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. This is what Simeon realized when he took the baby Jesus in his arms and praised God. I have seen your salvation, which you've prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Although there may have been no room in the inn for Jesus to be born, may there be room in our hearts for him. As Paul prays for the Ephesians, he also prays for us, that God will empower us with inner strength through his Spirit, in order that Christ will make his home in our hearts as we trust in him. When that takes place, our roots will grow down into God's love and keep us strong, and we will understand how wide, long, high, and how deep his love is for us. This Christmas, let's make sure that we have made a home in our hearts for Christ, that he is invited to dwell there, not momentarily, but every moment of every day throughout the new year. For then we will be able to be complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God, who is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. To allow Jesus to make his home in our hearts, we have to first believe that he wishes to do so, that he is the Savior of the world. The Lord is my rock, we need to cry, my fortress and my Savior. Then in our belief and faith, we open the door to him, for he's standing and knocking, awaiting our invitations to come in. Once he's entered, we need to surrender the key to our heart to him, as he is now Lord of our lives and owns our hearts, and no one can enter without his permission. And then he assures that he will keep us strong to the end and free from all blame, for he invites us to be in partnership with him. That's the Christmas promise. Jesus Christ in our hearts forever. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is well pleased.